Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk.
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell and today I'm joined by Randy Andy Datson.
Hi Pete. I was watching the SmackDown review earlier, the 5-minute review, and I couldn't help but notice that you're not Ollie Davis. What the hell's going on?
I know, it's crazy. I'm sure the comments section is going to be great today. Anyway, we'll talk more about that and other things. We've got to talk about D&D because that's happening, and we've got to talk about your birthday because that also happened. We're going to be talking about all of that stuff in the outro, but first let's get into talking about SmackDown and also talking about, first off, this new order that's come into effect where WWE are going to be fining people who don't wear masks in the crowd. Now what a 180 they've done. Let's get into talking about it. Here's the show. First things first, today we're going to be talking about this new mandate that's come in that, according to PW Insider, Mike Johnson has reported that anyone in the crowd, like the NXT talent that are in the crowd on the Raw and SmackDown shows and NXT, if they don't wear a mask, they actually are going to get fined from now on. $500 if they for the first offense of them like taking it off, and $1,000 for the second offense of them taking it off. This kind of came about. There was Rick Boogs was on Raw who took it off a few times. There was a few people on SmackDown that I saw last night who didn't have the mask on throughout the show. From as of yesterday's Raw taping, everyone has to wear a mask and they get fined if they don't, which is great. It's really cool that they're doing that. Bit late though, isn't it?
But yeah, I mean, honestly, like I know we're going to get sort of commenting, yes, better late than never, should we say, first of all. Like, it's good that they are doing it. It just feels a bit hollow after the fact that that possibly up to 25 people have been infected and that they are literally only doing this as, like, it took an actual outbreak within the company for them to take it seriously.
Yeah.
It's like they were going, oh no, we're WWE. No one's going to get ill. And then the people got ill and went, oh, what? Oh, okay, fine. This is serious. It's that kind of, remember that guy on the UK news who went to the beach with lots of like thousands and thousands of people. Mm-hmm. And someone interviewed him. He went, well, I don't know anyone who's got it, so it doesn't really matter. That's the kind of that has been the perspective from WWE. Like, well, none of us have got it, so who cares? But now that someone has got it, they do care, and they are doing the right thing. They're testing people. They're making sure people wear masks. And yeah, they probably a bunch of people probably noticed that, like, formerly Eric Bugenhagen and Rick Boogs was kind of now and then taking it down to cheer, I guess. I don't know what exactly he was doing it. But I think people noticed that and they got a bit of backlash and they realized that, okay, look, we're going to have to put something in place to stop people from doing this. Let's hope the fines are real, because then it actually acts as a kind of, what's it called? A motivation,
deterrent.
Deterrent. And it's not one of those like, oh, he's been fined $1 million for hitting a referee, when we know it actually hasn't been fined $1 million.
That's true.
So yeah, but I'm sure this is the case, because Mike Johnson is reporting it, and it's unlike him to report something that isn't true.
Exactly, yeah. And it seems like a realistic amount of money as well. It's not like it's 10 million fajillion scoobly doos.
Well, yeah, Kurt Angle, those trucks cost $10 million.
You said that with way too much emotion. But it'll be interesting to see if there's any sort of kickback from the NXT talent about having to wear a mask. Because obviously there's been some people, some would call them idiots, who have kind of just been saying like, oh, I'm not going to wear a mask, it's my choice, etc. Like Loki and Austin Aries have been on Twitter recently just being like, hey, I'm not going to wear a mask, it's all a conspiracy, or whatever they're saying. So it'd be interesting to see if, you know, if any of the wrestlers from the NXT roster are actually just like, I don't want to, whether they'll just, you know, be kicked from the performance center, or you know, maybe they'll just wear it to fit in. I don't know, but it's good that they're really doing this fine to try and stop that kind of damaging behavior.
There are people who obviously sort of suggest that perhaps people with breathing issues or people who are not well should not be wearing masks, because it makes it more difficult to breathe. However, WWE wrestlers are generally quite fit and they probably don't have breathing issues, so. In the worst case scenario, in the best case scenario, you are stopping the virus from spreading, because you can't spread. It's much harder for you to spread germs by coughing, sneezing, talking at people. In the worst case scenario, you're wearing a mask. And that is as bad as it gets. It's honestly not that life changing. And I know that you're like, yes, it's your choice to do what you want with your life. But actually, this doesn't really make too much of a difference. I think I went to the doctor the other day. I wore a mask. Yes, my face was slightly warmer because I was breathing kind of into my own face. That was fine. I didn't.
Yeah.
I wasn't sitting there screaming and kicking and screaming. But anyway, we won't go into it too much.
No, we won't dive into too much more detail than that. But yeah, just to summarize, it's great that they're doing this. Better late than never. Really hope that people feel a lot more safe, because there's a lot of unrest in WWE about the how they'd handled it, and the fact that people don't know who of these reported 24 people are actually who's contracted the virus, so they don't know if they've been in contact with them or anything like that. But hopefully this makes the NXT talent at the very least feel a little bit safer about working at the performance center, which is always a good thing for them, because they're the ones that are going to be on the front lines of it.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We now need to say thank you to some very special people, and those are our $25 and above pledge hammers on Patreon. If you haven't been to WrestleTalk's Patreon page yet, you should. There's a bunch of extra bonus content and perks. And if you pledge at the $25 and above tier, you get your very own custom wrestling nickname that gets read out on a show much like this one. So thank you to...
I'm Baddie Man.
Nathan Baddie.
Thank you. The Craftsman, Blake Carpenter. Sorry, Ollie isn't here to read that.
Thank you very much. Wonderwall, Brian Gallagher.
Woo! Oh.
Thank you.
The Kessel Run, DX Solo.
Woo! Thank you. The $100 Man, CD Horvey.
Oh, yeah. Jam that jam, Josh.
Jam that jam, Josh. Woo! Yeah. The Rocket, Dan Van Sky. Woo! Thank you.
Oh, this is so hard not to roll R's on. WrestleTalk's personal ring announcer, Rodrigo Benitez.
That's the way. Thank you, Datsun. No one names their kid this anymore. Larry.
Yeah, Barry's better. Will Landparty Landrum.
Hey, there it is. Thank you. Luke's favorite fan, the one, the only, the awesome Bubba.
Oh, and finally for today, the five-time champ, Ryan T.
Five-time, yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. We should probably get into actually talking about SmackDown, the actual episode itself. And this episode, it kicked off with Michael Cole introducing Matt Riddle, who said that in NXT, he was known as the original King of the Bros.
No, he wasn't.
He was known as the original bro. It's not hard, mate. Anyway, Riddle came out and he cut an overlong promo about something. He said bro a lot, and then he said like he was asked why he doesn't wear shoes, and it was about frostbite, and he doesn't like wearing shoes because it like feels like the same as frostbite or something.
There were a lot of promos on this show that were a bit like, who wrote this? And this was one of them. But for me, the real issue with this segment was that they would not stop zooming in on his toes. I don't want to see his toes. The fact that he wrestles without shoes, whatever. I don't care about that. However, the feet on almost every human being are the least appealing part. Obviously, there are people who like feet. Whatever. Do you? But for me, I don't want to see Matt Riddle's feet over and over. Like, fine, zoom in on them once because you're talking about his feet. You don't need to zoom in on them 8 times in the space of a minute. I don't want to see his feet. Like, I don't want, like, if I was on TV with my shoes on, I wouldn't want people to look at my feet. Not that I've got particularly disgusting feet, but people don't need to see them. And I just...
So, today on the WrestleTalk podcast, we've discovered that Randy Andy Datsun really doesn't like feet.
Yeah, and I'm not one of those people who pretends to not like feet and then actually is like really into feet. I really don't want to see feet.
That like, sounds like something that someone who's really into feet would say. Just no, throwing it out there, mate.
You caught me. I just love him. I was going to suck his toes.
For me, that was the least egregious part of this promo.
Oh, that was the worst part. No, fair enough. The rest of it was dumb. Like, oh, I got frostbite and therefore I won't wear shoes. That's not really how frostbite works. And really, also, if you got frostbite, your feet wouldn't look that pristine.
Yeah, it didn't really make sense. It wasn't like funny, like a Matt Riddle promo. It was just him saying like, oh, bro, frostbite, bro, and stuff like that. Stop it. Don't. Mm. Why do you feel the need to explain Matt Riddle's character? It's the easiest character to understand. He's a chill guy. He says bro a lot and he wrestles without shoes. You don't need to explain any of that.
Hey,
he's
Matt,
the chill guy. That's it.
Why are you wearing trunks? Well, you know, I don't want to get my penis out. It's like, he doesn't explain everybody. And the fact that he's like, I can't feel my feet. It's like, wouldn't you just be falling over all the time in that case?
Also, that doesn't make any sense for spots where someone stamps on his foot, because that happens in almost every Matt Riddle match.
Every match, he should now go.
Huh?
Oh, absolutely. You stepped on my foot, did you?
Nose fell the foot stumps, yeah.
And all of his moves could just be a kick, because then he wouldn't get any effect from it.
Exactly, yeah. I didn't get this. You don't have to explain Matt Riddle at all, but the segment did get better. Not right now, but later, because King Corbin interrupted. Stick with me, it does get better. And he came out, and my first note after King Corbin's music hit was, oh, for F's sake, was my first note.
Yes, he is the... He's just the mid-card heel. He is will always be that, and... It, obviously, in in Vince McMahon's company's mind, this makes all the sense in the world, because all the baby faces beat Baron Corbin. And there was that report that Baron Corbin had specifically said, I will not feud with Matt Riddle unless he's beaten, I think, 5 developmental talents or 5 other people before he faces me. So he's beaten AJ Styles. Classic developmental talent.
Mm-hmm.
John, I'm on the wrong side of the camera. John Morrison, classic developmental talent, former tag team champion. Mm-hmm. So I guess he'll, I don't know, face John Cena next week and win that. So that's another developmental talent.
For sure, yeah.
But yeah, so it looked like we were going to get some kind of match between those two. But then Corbin goes, holla, holla. You're going to go one-on-one with Mundo Taker.
That was bad.
Yeah, I just made that one up on the spot.
That was pretty bad. He got a touch of the Teddy Longs and just said, you'll be facing this guy. And that guy was John Morrison. Which was, I was like, have they been aligned before? Why is he doing this for Corbin? Sure. Miz and Morrison came out and honestly, wasn't a huge fan of the Riddle promo. Corbin stuff was usual Corbin stuff, whatever. Bloody love this match.
Very good match.
Bloody brilliant. Genuinely, John Morrison versus Matt Riddle was my match of the night on SmackDown. I thought it was amazing. Like, Morrison's movements across the ring and through the ropes and stuff was absolutely amazing. Some of the counters that they had some really stiff strikes in there. Like, it was just a brilliant match. It was really, really good.
There was a move which looked like a razor's edge. And then he kind of ducked. And then Matt Riddle just somehow just started spinning on him. It was like, no, that's physics doesn't allow that.
I know.
And then he just the bump didn't look that bad because it was actually from not very high up. But the way they got into it, I was like, have these guys wrestled before? Because it just looked like they just knew exactly what they were doing. There were no botches at all. I mean, I know it's edited to make, like, there might have been one, but it was just so clean and so good. And yeah, it like the whole sort of the narrative was that Riddle, he's new to SmackDown, But look at his heart. Look, he's escaping from everything. He's like the Riddler from Batman. I don't know Batman. That was the genuine narrative. I didn't just make that up. Like Riddle kind of kept kicking out of things, and Cole was like, after two moves, going, "What's Morrison got to do to put him away?" He's like, "Well, maybe hit a finisher as usual." Just a really good match. It ended with Miz trying to distract Riddle, and then Corbin trying to distract him. Morrison going for a roll up, and then Riddle countering that into a kind of roll up of his own. Very, very SmackDown finish, but before that, it had been a very good match.
I thought it was a great match, and even the ending, I'm not overly against it. I mean, Riddle's quite new on the roster. Sure, he could have beat Morrison clean, but I think him overcoming the 3-1 odds, even with a roll up, it still made him look smart out of it. Like, he countered the roll up into his own. He still looks like a legit kind of guy, and he held his own against Morrison. I think it was great, and the match was such high quality before that that I think both of them looked really, really good coming out of it. So I'm okay with it. Yeah, thought it was amazing. Oh my God, I forgot about one spot that was amazing. When they were both on the top rope, somehow mid-air, Morrison like counters this flip that he's done into a Spanish fly, and then picks him up and does a standing Spanish fly afterwards. And I was like, what just happened? I was like,
I do love a Spanish fly, but if you even think about it logically for a second, you're like, no.
Yeah, no.
I won't do that because like, what? No, just picking someone up by the shoulder and jumping backwards. Why would then they do a front flip?
They're just so strong, Andy. They're so strong. They flip the other person over with them. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, but it's great.
But then we got The Undertaker debuted. He just looked a bit like Bayley.
That was way later.
I scrolled too far.
You went way too far, mate. Because the action didn't even... It barely stopped here because Riddle won his match, was celebrating on the ramp, and then immediately got blindsided by AJ Styles, who obviously he lost to Riddle a couple of weeks ago. So that was a nice continuity. And it's like they've got multiple feuds going at the same time. Big thumbs up. And then Styles immediately gets taken out by Drew Gulak. And then they go straight into the Intercontinental Championship match with Styles and Gulak. I was like, oh my God, two back-to-back wrestling matches, no promo between them? This is amazing. After a quick ad break, it was straight back into the action. And again, I thought this was a really good match between Styles and Gulak. It was a lot slower, but a lot more psychological in this sense. It was Styles wearing down Gulak with, you know, wearing down his knee. You had Daniel Bryan popping in over Zoom to come in and just be like, oh, hey, you know, Gulak, at this point, he really needs to work on this. The reason I got together with Gulak was because I thought he was more technically sound than me. Later on in the match, he was like, no, I'm not counting out Gulak just yet, because, you know, when he beat AJ before, it looked like he didn't have the match won, but then he can get that roll up out of nowhere and he can still kind of get you. Bryan, I think, really added an extra layer to the match of him just coming in to be like, hey, guys, you should still watch out for this, but stay invested in Gulak, please. Which was really, really nice. But it came to it in the end where AJ just kind of won quite comfortably in the end. He hit the Styles Clash out of nowhere and then propped Gulak up into the corner and then just hit a phenomenal forearm and just pinned him, which I think was a really good decision, honestly. I think Styles really needed this win. After losing to Riddle a couple of weeks ago, he needed like a good, strong win to be like, no, I am a dominant champion. I thought it was great.
Yeah, no, me too. Although there was one person who was not a fan of the Styles Clash.
Here we come with our SmackDown highlight of the week, everybody. There's one person in this crowd who really, really didn't like AJ hitting the Styles Clash.
You suck, AJ!
It's so good. I really hope that that's someone who legitimately doesn't like AJ and just took the opportunity because he's a heel to just go out and just be like, no, you suck. I'm just going to play it one more time just so in case the first one caught you off guard. Listen out for the guy saying, you suck, AJ. It's so good. Just
he does
the one
suck.
Guy.
He's a heel.
He does suck, yeah. I thought that was amazing. Great work from crowd member, whoever you are. I thought this was a great match. You put over Styles really strong, which it should, as the champion. no complaints. And I thought at this point in the show, I was like, man, this has been a great show so far. Like, both of these matches, I think I genuinely, even with the opening like promo, which I wasn't a huge fan of, I was like, this is on course for like a 5 out of 5 show if they keep this up. This is really good.
I can almost always forgive bad promos if there's really good wrestling in between.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, whatever. It was a really poor bit of writing, but the matches have made up for it. But hey, then we got Bayley and Banks. Just like I said earlier, I predicted it.
Just like you said. We got Bayley and Banks, who came out doing more of their heel shenanigans. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, Bayley came out and said that after last week, The Undertaker personally called her and said, you and Sasha Banks are the best champions in WWE history. And I think, you know, it's great that people paid a tribute to me last week, but I think people need to pay a tribute to you this week. So then they threw to their own video package, which for once makes sense for people to throw to the Titantron. And they said,
this is what happened last week. It was an actual, like, we've made this thing.
Have a look. And they made their own tribute video, which was cool. It had like talking head segments of both of them just complimenting the other person, and loads of clips of them being dominant, being Grand Slam champions. And, you know, we've been Sasha Banks' main evented pay-per-view at Hell in a Cell. Blah, 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 blah. All this, like, all their achievements that they've ever made. I thought it was good heel stuff. I really liked it. Literally no complaints about it at all. Until after the video package, because I came back from the video package, Bayley and Sasha again. Something else that I liked was them chanting, "Thank you, Bayley. Thank you, Sasha," at each other, which I thought was great. But then they get interrupted by Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. And this is where the promo kind of went for me, because it's another one of these promos that was very poorly scripted. They tried their best, bless them, but I think these lines might have been rejected from a Dean Ambrose promo, because they came out and decided to say it was bad. They came out and decided to say the achievements that they have, because Bayley and Banks had listed all theirs. Mm. And instead of saying, you know, former women's champion and all the achievements that they've actually got, they said things like Alexa Bliss has driven across Antarctica in a go-kart, and Nikki Cross is 325th in line for the throne
of England. Yes. So first of all, I haven't fact checked, but I don't think it's true. I don't think either of those things are true.
No.
But yeah, I mean, it was kind of, you kind of knew they were going to come out where once, like, mm-hmm. as soon as you say, hey, well, finally the Undertaker's retired, you're like, okay, well, someone's going to come out now. Here comes a baby face to say, you can't say that about Undertaker. It was just like, you could have picked anything and you chose, she's actually the Queen of Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
There is no Queen of Scotland. I mean, I guess there is the Queen of England. The Queen,
of England,
the Commonwealth is the Queen of Scotland. And that she's driven across Antarctica in a go-kart. It was like they just went, right, random words selector.
It's
Google.
Literally, the reason I say that it sounds like it's rejected lines from a Dean Ambrose promo is because of that Jon Moxley Talk Is Jericho interview, when he's saying there was a promo where he just did wacky things and they expected him to say he rode 25 feet backwards on a unicycle and he did this other like wacky stuff. It was just random stuff that bears no resemblance to anything that should be said in a wrestling promo. It was so strange. And then after that, they had the gall to get into the ring and say, do you realize how ridiculous you sound, Bayley and Sasha? I was like, do you listen to what you just said?
Like, and also, like, Bayley and Sasha have reason to, like, I know they're heels, but they are genuinely, they just beat you clean.
And they're
also right. Sasha's a multi-time women's champion. Bayley's a multi-time women's champion. Bayley's a Grand Slam winning champion. They've both been NXT champion. Nikki Cross hasn't won anything ever. Alexa Bliss has won the women's. Like, Alexa Bliss, fair enough, has got some titles. But then it was just like, what? And then Nikki Cross just goes off on Bayley, going like, I put my heart on it. I bet the next SmackDown champion, I'm going to be it. And it was like, right, okay, yeah. So your classic babyface, I put my heart on the line. And then it was a switcheroo, which I quite liked, which was instead of Bayley saying, yeah, do you know what? You're going to get beaten up by Sasha. Sasha goes, do you know what, Alexa? You're going to get beaten up by Bayley. And I liked the way they kind of presented the match because, like, Bayley was in her street clothes. It was like, oh, yeah, she wasn't ready for a match. It's not one of those things where, like, do you know what? You're going to have a match now, and the person's already in their gear going, oh, really, me in my wrestling gear?
Yeah, I really like the switcheroo. It develops the story of Bayley and Banks, which is different but the same, which is nice. Kind of keeps that plate spinning, but without actually referencing the tension between them. Just like, yeah, Bayley was laughing at Nikki Cross saying that she was going to win at Extreme Rules. This is the horror show. And then, Alexa comes in and just slaps Bayley. While Bayley's on the floor, Sasha goes, you can't do that. Bayley will beat you up right now. And Bayley was like, say what? It's a nice switcheroo of what's happened before. The match itself, I thought, was fine. Nothing special. Yep. It was more just around the fact of Bayley just continually taunting Nikki Cross on the outside, just being like, oh, what you gonna do, etc. for, like, basically the whole thing, and, like, doing her own moves against her and stuff like that, to the point where Nikki got so mad that she couldn't handle her heel shenanigans anymore, and then she hit her for the DQ. It was fine.
Yes.
No, it wasn't long. It was only, like, 5 minutes. It was fine. Nothing wrong with it. It furthers their feud for Extreme Rules. Still don't think Nikki's going to win, but furthers the feud at the very least. There's a story there. So, yeah, thumbs up.
Yes.
Why not?
Yeah, no, all good. Good. And then we had the Bray promo, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Which was probably the better of the night's promos.
Because it was a video package.
Even if it was still silly. I have a prediction about this match.
Do you now?
Yes, and that is, I don't know if you noticed, but there was a lot of alligators in this match, and in the promo. I think, actually, I have two predictions. The first that, and at the finish of the match, is going to be some kind of alligator shenanigans with Bray being dragged under or something, and Braun will then look at the water and go, see you later, alligator, and walk off, and I guarantee that's either been pitched or that is what is going to happen, because there is no way that an alligator is not getting involved, even if it's just like lots of splashes of someone lying under the water, like splashing the water, and then there's like a cut to an alligator, and then it cuts back to the water going, and Bray going, oh no,
oh my god, I can totally see that see you later alligator line.
Yeah,
oh, it's gonna be so bad. I can't wait. According to reports, I think they came out today or yesterday, they're hiring like a stunt coordinator for that match. So it's going to be very kind of cinematic style.
Yeah.
Very much like they should be planning some big stuff, hopefully, with like a proper stuntman there. There hopefully should be some big kind of spots, which should hopefully mask the fact that it's in a swamp.
Hopefully. It wasn't really a swamp, though, was it? It was a river. Oh, yeah. And they were like, oh, look, but here are some plants. They're in a swamp.
It was swampish. I don't know.
I know.
Anyway, I'm still not hugely into this match, just because I'm not really into Braun as a whole, as Universal Champion.
Well, the report is that they're going to be going through SummerSlam. So I'm assuming SummerSlam will be the big actual Fiend versus Braun match.
That's what I hope, yeah.
Which will be the kind of the way that this feud should end, and it should end with Bray winning.
Yes, hopefully.
If Braun Whit beats all three versions, it'd be like someone beating like Mick Foley, Cactus Jack, Mankind, and Dude Love.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, hope that doesn't happen.
Be a bit pants. Hopefully not. But after that, we got another match that I quite liked, which was Kofi Kingston versus Shinsuke Nakamura. This is all built around Cesaro and Nakamura just being like, we're sick of being overlooked, we want to have a tag title shot, we've beaten these guys already, why don't we have a title shot? So then they had Shinsuke versus Kofi Kingston. I made a prediction very early on in this match. I was like, oh my god, Nakamura is going to roll up Kingston after Cesaro gets involved, it's going to be so boring. And then about a minute later, Big E and Cesaro were both ejected from ringside, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's good.
What is strange is that, or like, what is ironic is that they're like, oh, we've been overlooked for ages. We want a shot at the SmackDown Tag Team titles, which, I don't know if they've noticed this, but are the most hot-potatoed, almost unimportant titles on main roster WWE. Hmm. Like, they are just given to whoever they want.
Yeah. They were really good at WrestleMania. That SmackDown tag title match at Mania was great. And then, kind of since Miz and Morrison lost it to New Day, it's just kind of been like,
the champions also just keep losing.
Yeah, it was like it's very strange.
But before Big E was kicked out, everyone knows Big E's a bit weird, but in a very kind of wholesome way.
Totally.
But sometimes he just does something, you're like, huh. Okay.
Why did you do that, Big E?
Yes.
This is another one of those things where after Shinsuke Nakamura was thrown into the plexiglass barrier by Kofi Kingston, Big E thought it was hilarious. So we've got our, for the first time ever, second SmackDown highlight of the week. I know, there's two of them. It's mental. But have a listen to Big E's reaction to Shinsuke being thrown into the plexiglass.
The keys to keeping down Kofi Kingston and Big E.
Like, what on earth is he doing?
And for context, for podcast listeners who can't see this, he is like properly squatting down over Shinsuke and like laughing at him,
screaming with laughter.
It's he should be playing the Joker with that laugh. Like, good God, that's quite the freaky laugh. I thought it was great, though. I loved it. I love Big E. He's great. Also, on his entrance, he just got on his side and just rolled down the whole ramp on the entrance because he can. Why not? Big E shenanigans. Loved it. Yes. The match itself, though, I thought was quite fun. There was a lot of inventive counters back and forth. I got quite into the action towards the end, a lot of near falls. And then Shinsuke just won. He just hit the Kinshasa to the side of Kingston's head. And won.
It was a very unusual Kinshasa because he was sort of side on, and Michael Cole didn't call it a Kinshasa or anything. He was like, oh, it hits him with the knee. Oh, sorry. Yeah, that was the finish. I knew that.
Yeah. And he does hit that running knee every so often, but doesn't normally get the pin off it. So I don't know whether he's actually just changing his finisher to include that now, or whether it's just a weak finish for Kingston because WWE hate Kingston. Who knows? I thought it was good that Shinsuke won clean. I liked that, even if Kingston's the tag team champion, even though, you know, Kingston was a former WWE champion and all that stuff. If they're trying to build a tag team title match with Cesaro and Nakamura and trying for them to be taken seriously, I think this is a solid way to do it. And it sets up a tag title match, which they announced for next week. Cesaro and Nakamura versus the New Day for the tag titles, which I'm excited for.
I thought they may have teased something as well with the table. I think there's going to be shenanigans next week, and then there's going to be a tables match announced for Extreme Rules. That is my guess.
A great shout, yeah, because right at the end of the match, Cesaro came back out after Shinsuke won. Cesaro came out to applaud Shinsuke for winning, and Cesaro got out a table that, like, they were going to put Kingston through it before Big E came back out and made the save. There's definitely some scope for that for a tables match at Extreme Rules. This is the horror show, etc. They also announced next week that it's going to be Wyatt versus Strowman from Money in the Bank will be shown in full on SmackDown next week. Can't wait for that. And also Bliss and Cross versus Bayley and Banks is also happening next week. And then finally, we had the main event segment. I say main event very loosely because it was the toast to Jeff Hardy from Sheamus. And this was as uncomfortable as you'd expect. It was Sheamus on Zoom and Jeff Hardy in the ring with a bartender and a bar laid out with all sorts of alcohol. And Sheamus just saying, hey man, you have a problem, not with alcohol or drugs, but with facing reality. And the solution to that is to drink. And then Hardy was holding up the glass of a little bit of the bubbly that he got handed by the bartender. And he was just like, oh, you know what? I might drink. And Sheamus is like, come on, Hardy, drink. And I was like, oh my God, this is really uncomfortable for someone who's actually recovering from addiction. Someone to be like, you should take a drink, Jeff. I was like, oh, don't say that.
But it's okay.
Uncomfortable.
because Jeff's a babyface and he wouldn't hurt anyone completely innocently.
Because there was the bartender in the ring who apparently Sheamus had hired to be in the ring, who handed Jeff the glass. And Jeff, in response, took the glass, looked like he was going to drink it, and then swerve. He poured the glass over the bartender, said, oh, it's like a, yeah. Oh, it's a mean thing.
Oh, that's not very nice of him. And then Jeff goes, actually, do you know what, bartender? I'm going to kill you. And he just grabs, and I'm so glad. I mean, I hope that multiple bottles were rigged. Because if it was the only one and he picked up the wrong one and just completely glassed this guy, the guy could have had like split his head open. But yeah, so it was obviously a sugar glass bottle with liquid in it. But he just twats this guy over the head who just like completely potatoes down.
It was so good.
Jeff's just like, yeah, I'm a baby face. And then hits him with a swanton. And this guy is just lying there like, I'm just a waiter. But obviously, he's
I'm just doing my job.
A developmental talent or like a local wrestler. But
yeah,
it was like,
so good.
And like, you dare try and give me alcohol, I kill you.
Which, just... like, you shouldn't give him alcohol, fair. But the dude was hired specifically for that purpose. And he was doing his job. It was, oh my God.
Imagine if you were at a restaurant and you were trying to cut down the booze and the waiter goes, oh, would you like some wine too, sir? And you just stood up, grabbed the bottle and whacked him over the head with it. Went, no, I'm recovering. And everyone in the room's going,
woo!
Yeah!
This guy, yeah, we like him. We got endorsement from The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. It was hilarious. And that was the show. That was it. They just, Hardy smashed the bottle over the guy's head, hit the swanton, stood tall, and everyone went, yeah, and that was the main event. I was like, why was that the main event when you have an Intercontinental Championship match on the show?
On the floor.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was a bad segment. I thought that the bottle smash was hilarious and great. Loved it. But the actual promo from Sheamus was bad. I don't blame Sheamus. It's the content he's given. No. It's not great at all.
He was very actually uncomfortable. So he was on After the Bell with Corey Graves this week and was like, yeah, lots of people really hate me now. And it's like, it's not really his fault. Because actually, from what I've seen and from what I've heard, Sheamus is a really nice man outside the ring. So to have this kind of level of hatred just because WWE are making him look like someone who's trying to force someone with a genuine addiction to be addicted again.
I know.
Like it's like your mate who's been addicted to crack and you just walk around with a little bag of white powder going, do you want some? I mean, it's like, that's not how you act. Or, like, whatever. I know he's a heel.
Anyway, but... we've been over it, but yeah. But anyway, that was the show. I thought this was a really fun show overall. The first half, I thought, was brilliant. Like I said, on course for a 5 out of 5 show. The Bayley and Bliss match and the main event and their promo wasn't really up to that quality. But there was a ton of wrestling on the show, not that many promos, and the wrestling was really good. So I think it's a comfortable 4 out of 5 show.
Yeah, first half was a 5, second half was a 3. So yeah, just average it out to a nice old 4.
Nice old 4 out of 5. I thought it was great. I'm looking forward to more SmackDown, which is more than I can say than usual. So thumbs up from me. So what did you want to talk about first, Datsun? Because we've got like 3 things we need to talk about.
Well, should we discuss it chronologically? So okay. I think you moved first, I believe.
I did. Yeah, that's true. Mm. So yeah, I've moved into a new flat and finally we've got a setup for me at home so I can record stuff now, which means that Ollie doesn't have to work 6 days a week, which is pretty nice for him. And the flat is actually pretty good. We like it a lot. We were very scared at first that it was going to be terrible because it was quite dirty. There was a lot of things that were broken. Mm-hmm. We were like, oh, this isn't great. But as it turns out, we actually got the inspection report not too long ago. And the inspection that had been done on this flat had clearly been done before the cleaners had been round because it sounded horrible. They were literally like debris everywhere, burnt on grease. Like it sounded awful. So then we were like, you know what? Actually, cleaners did a pretty good job at the place. So we were a bit more accepting after that. But Yeah, but it's a great place, and the setup is fantastic. Bloody lovely.
Has the mold gone? Lights.
No, not yet. We're still working on it, but we're going to try our best. It doesn't seem to be like increasing or anything. It's just kind of there, which is good. It's not like growing. So we're still going to have to tackle it at some point. But yes.
Well, for the majority of June, my girlfriend lived at my flat as part of my allowed social, whatever it's called, bubble social thingy. And afterwards, we were like, why aren't we just living together? So maybe not like in the next few months, but this is it, I think we sort of realized that, that worked. Why aren't we just doing that? So we've been kind of annoying each other by sending each other loads of flat listings and going, hey, what about this one? What about this one? So yeah, there's a big possibility that I could be moving to London, moving
That's
in.
Great.
Next spring, probably after Christmas. I think it would just be a pain in the bottom to move at the moment with everything going on.
Confirm moving during a pandemic is not fun.
Yes, and also my current flatmate, who is currently living at home with his parents because he doesn't know how to cook, texted me the other day to say that his girlfriend is moving to my area. As in my geographical area, to study, to do a master's course. So she's going to be moving in with us as well.
Oh, great.
I think she's going to be living in his room. We haven't quite ironed out the details, but I'm pretty sure she's going to be in there. Otherwise, it might get a bit awkward. So that'll be interesting. I'm going to have to be, I think I might have to be a bit tidier. Although it kind of depends on what she's like, because I mean, my girlfriend's incredibly tidy, but I do know a lot of girls who are messier even than me, and that is saying something. Other than that, this week I did turn 25. The big 25. I don't know, man. I'm so over getting older. getting older stopped being fun when I turned 21. Because as soon as you turn 21, you're like, okay, I can do everything now. 25,
that's not,
I guess,
true.
I guess I can now hire cars everywhere. I mean, I could hire cars before, it just some places you had to pay a bit of extra, but now I can hire cars everywhere. Hooray. So I'll just have to go on holiday. Oh wait, I'm not going to do that. Although, having said that, I am going to be going to the Peak District with my parents at the end of August. Because we were looking at France, but then my dad was like, there's no point, we can't find anywhere, and also they've hiked up their prices 1,000%. So we're doing that. I'm going to Wales with my girlfriend the weekend before that in August, so that'll be nice to get away. It's
basically
from
no lockdown for you then
from this flat, so that's fun. Because they've had to, we originally had this Wales trip booked for January, then it got postponed to March, and then it got postponed to August. I think they are putting in several measures to make sure the B&B we're staying in is as safe as possible. So that'll be fun. But my actual birthday, I just was like, oh man, I'm old. and I know I'm still the youngest in the office, but I just don't like it. I mean, I got a new TV, which has completely changed my TV watching and gaming experience. I've been playing a lot of the Switch. I've been playing a game called Trine 4.
Trine.
Which I may have mentioned last week. Trine. It's like I would recommend it. I think you'd like it. It's like a platformer, puzzle solver, and also whacking enemies. It's on the Switch. I think at the moment you can get all four for like 12 quid. So I'd highly recommend it. Girlfriend got me Breath of the Wild for my birthday, so I'll be playing that.
I started playing that, but I've not finished it, obviously, because I never finish anything. But game. It's gorgeous.
Yes, I'm going to try and finish it. I had a look, and it says it takes about 60 to 70 hours to finish, which is probably why you haven't finished it. And then in the evening, I socially distantly met up with some friends and did a kind of, what's it called? Almost like an escape room, but around London. so we could kind of walk a couple of meters apart from each other. And we had like a, they gave you like a, an iPad, which has the mission on it, and you have to walk around, go to different places and solve clues. For 95% of it, it was great. Although one of the clues was we had to generally like make a little potion almost. We like put food coloring into a thing and like you would put different colors or like clear liquid. And obviously there was some kind of, I don't know, chemical solution in there and they would change colors. And the question was, oh, what color is the solution? And we were like, well, it's either blue or green because it was kind of turquoisey. We were like, either blue or green. And we clicked green because we were like, it's more green than blue. And it went, no, it's purple. We were like, no, it's not. and then we did it again, like making sure we did absolutely everything right. And it was like, no, it's exactly the same color. So at the end, we were like, we told her and she was like, oh, sorry, I may have labeled the bottles wrong. But we were just standing there going, oh, man. And we would have, like, there was a leaderboard because, like, how quickly you did it and stuff. We would have been first if it wasn't for the flipping purple.
Ugh. Oh, terrible.
So angry. But, yes.
That's a Dats World problem right there.
That is a Dats World problem. What isn't a Dats World problem, people, and what you need to understand is I know he comes across as a mean, spirited ogre with limited hair and a beard on screen, but actually Pete Quinnell is an incredibly generous and kind man. Yesterday, actually your Thursday night, I was talking to my girlfriend and she has been wanting to play Dungeons and Dragons for a very, very long time now. She just sort of has a bit of anxiety about it, doesn't want to join, doesn't really know anyone who plays, doesn't want to join just a random group of people in case they're all weird. So I said, well, hey, look, Pete, Laurie and Luke, they all play. I could ask them what's the best way to get into it. And if they have any upcoming games that perhaps we could join in. And of course, Pete replies saying, hey, look, I can do a one shot with you guys. I can show you how to make a character. So yesterday evening, we spent about an hour and 20 minutes creating her first ever Dungeons and Dragons character. And after the call, honestly, I can rarely remember her being so excited about something, and she was saying how lovely Pete is, how lovely it was to sort of talk to Michelle and see how excited Michelle was about it. And she was like, I never thought that I'd meet people sort of at my kind of level of nerdiness who were just so willing to just go with the nerdy flow and just accept that was them. And yeah, she is so excited, and she's going to be spending the rest good part of today kind of, because she's chosen to be a high elf wizard, so she's going to be choosing all her spells, her cantrips, choosing her name. So yeah, she's very, very excited, and we've got that plan for later this month, the one shot. So and she is,
should be very fun.
She's thrilled, to say the least. So that was very kind of Pete, and you should all send him nice things on Twitter. Well, and be nice in the comments.
And you say it was like, oh, I'm being so generous and so kind and all that stuff. I did it entirely for selfish reasons because I want to play more D&D.
No, I know.
And
I
it just kind of lined up. But, you know, it was great to have that call in, especially to see. It's not very often that I get to, like, especially since I've only been playing for, you know, a couple of years at this point. In fact, not even 2 years was like my first proper, like, I'm going to start looking at Dungeons and Dragons was about 2 years ago from now. I've never really gotten to, like, properly coach someone about, like, here's what you should do to create a character. Here's this thing. Here's that thing. Like, properly and actually what I'm talking about.
She was so impressed with your knowledge because she was like, oh, what's this spell? And you were like, oh, it does this and this and this. I mean, honestly, if she wasn't with me and you weren't with Michelle, I think she probably would have hit on you quite hard because you just because of your knowledge of cantrips. She's thrilled, like, because she's played a lot of RPG games where you are a wizard, you are a knight and all this sort of thing, but she's really always wanted to, like, get into it properly. So this is an opportunity, and hopefully once she's done, like, her first game, she'll be able to get into it properly, and perhaps there are opportunities for us to have longer actual campaigns and things. But yeah, she she was very she was ashamed by my choice of name.
It was very bad in for fairness. My character. She should be ashamed of your name.
She's generally ashamed of me. But what am I? I'm an
Arakocra barbarian. Is what
barbarian called?
Yes.
Called Barry Stevens, because I just felt like what's the opposite of what people would expect me to be called? Mm-hmm. I would only call like Throglar.
Why not?
Because Michelle said that she would not call me that.
Correct.
So yeah, we'll see. I'm sorry, everyone. We've been talking about Dungeons and Dragons because I know there are people who don't play Dungeons and Dragons.
The amount of people that whenever you know I spoke about D&D on a podcast with me and Laurie or whatever, everyone always emailed in just being like, "Please talk about D&D more." So I'm okay.
But for people who don't like it, there's football on today. It's going to be good. Pubs are opening. Way, get a beer down, you
lads.
What are the things that people
you do
like?
Realize you're talking on a wrestling podcast, right? And the crossover with nerds and people who like Dungeons and Dragons and stuff is probably quite high.
That's true. Now I should be starting Breath of the Wild later today because I'm on the final level of Trine. I've never ever played a Zelda game before. I'm very new to kind of the only games I've ever played on Nintendo before are Pokemon games, and like Mario Kart and things like that. Smash Bros. And Mario Party. But yeah,
so quite a lot of Nintendo games then.
It's my first ever. No, but like when I speak to like Laurie and stuff, where he's played every game ever.
That's true. Yeah,
and none of them that I've ever heard of. I'm excited to kind of because I bought the Switch. And I only had Pokemon, and I just played Pokemon, and then I hadn't played it for months. And then
DLC's out.
Girlfriend came to I borrowed it from someone. I no longer have it. The girlfriend came around, and we were like, "Oh, let's get a game we can play together." Turns out you need two extra Joy Cons to play Trine. I didn't realize that, so we ended up just kind of watching each other play it. But the thing is, I would have bought two new Joy Cons. However, why are they so expensive?
They are stupid pricey, right?
They are £60. So that's what, like $90?
Yeah.
Ish?
Maybe not quite that much, but yeah, somewhere around there. They're crazy high. Anyway, we've really overran on this outro.
$74.
How many?
$74. 70 cents. So 75.
Yeah. Anyway, we should probably get out of here because we have legit overrun and we did start recording this quite late today anyways. Thank you guys for listening to us ramble. I'm sure that after our one shot that we're going to do, I'm sure we'll have updates on that later on and all that stuff. But thank you guys for listening. We'll be back with more content. We're in the lead up to This Is the Horror Show Extreme Rules. Exactly. We'll be doing all sorts of content leading up to that. So thanks for listening, everyone. I love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do. and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.